Welcome to the Stranger Still podcast. I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Miles.
And we are doing a 2023 rewatch of Stranger Things, which we're going to be doing character by character throughout the seasons 1 through 4. This is going to be our journey through the 11 main characters, including 11.
Including 11, yeah. Stranger Things, known for nostalgia, aesthetics, music, action, bunch of iconic visuals, moments, but at the heart of Stranger Things is the cast and the characters.
I'm so excited to delve into each character. It's going to be so fun. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, StrangerStill22. Subscribe, share, review us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we're going to start it off with the wall axing, mind flayer roasting, fridge magnet investigating, antique chariots partner. It's the wheelbarrow Joyce Byers.
I am so excited to start with Joyce. I don't know. She's one of my favorite characters to delve into. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a great start.
She's the first character to realize that the things were stranger. What she is, she's the first one to be like, I guess besides Will.
I think Will kind of gets to mess. No, and 11. I mean, obviously, okay. Her whole life.
Fair.
Yeah, you failed that one.
All right. So. Well, season one, as Kathleen said, we're just going to roll through as if Joyce is the only character of the whole thing. So season one starts. We meet her after Will has disappeared. It's like the morning. She realizes Will is not there. Jonathan was out as well. And she goes to the police station to address what is already a serious concern in her mind.
The Hopper we haven't quite fallen in love with yet. But yeah, we meet Joyce as this frazzled, overworked single mom. I mean, literally everything about her is disheveled. Her hair is even like frizzy and just like wild and unkempt. You know, that in itself is like very believable to me, because you have to imagine, so she's a single mom, mm-hmm. and she's raising these two growing boys. She's the primary provider. So, I mean, she's living paycheck to paycheck, which we see when she eventually asks for like an advance on her paycheck.
Donald.
I know.
What strikes me about the scene too, just watching Joyce talk to Hopper, is how sure she is that Will is missing and how concerned she is about Will in general. Like, as a human being, she says he's not like you. He's not like me. He's not like most. Lonnie thinks he's gay. You know, he's super sensitive. It's just, that strikes me in kind of rewatching that. She's not just worried about him not being in his room today. She's worried about him overall.
And I think it's like a perfect, a purposeful contrast, the way Hopper is like not taking it seriously. And then like she's portrayed in that moment as this like crazy mom that's losing her head. But like, I think it's rightfully so. And I talk a lot about that in our previous podcast.
Where, still available
like,
for listening?
I'm fully on her side here. I fully think like this is like one accurate description of how a single mom would react.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily agree with that. It's like, so Joyce, we kind of go through season one. She knows the breathing on the phone is real.
Yeah,
she knows, she believes that she's not hallucinating and that she is talking to Will through the Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. She gets the dead body comes and she's like, whatever that thing in there is, that's not my son. You say that's a realistic single mom thing. I guess talk about that a little bit more.
I don't know. Maybe part of it is like, because I am a woman, I'm able to see that perspective a little bit easier, I suppose. And like, you know, having kids, when we first watched this, I didn't have any, obviously we still don't have kids, but we've got one on the way.
That's right.
Which, like, doing this rewatch, knowing I have a child on the way, I feel like even more so makes me feel more connected to like how she's reacting. Like, she's been on the edge. We actually, like, there's hints, like people think that she's kind of like lost her rocker a little bit, but I think like it's due to like the stressful life she leads as a single mom, like losing, I mean, having a horrible ex that doesn't care about their kids. And she's just like living day to day, just trying to raise these kids. Anyway, so all this to say, I don't know, actually. Sorry.
You're talking about, as compared to a TV show, this is a real depth of grief that somebody would have compared to a normal sci-fi or superhero. This is snot crying, hair frizzing, chain smoking,
and
stress.
You gotta say, like, this is every parent's worst nightmare.
So I guess where I disagree is, and I am not a woman, so everyone side with Kathleen on this, please. But I feel like Joyce's superpower is the fact that she doesn't give in to grief. She doesn't think that this is, that it's in her head. She just knows that this is real. I'm actually talking to Will in the lights. Yeah. I don't understand how something's coming through the wall, but something is coming through the wall. And she believes that with a heart that I don't know that many people would.
I do agree with you there. I think, like, it definitely is a stretch, and a lot of people wouldn't necessarily react that way. Mm-hmm. But I can certainly see how somebody could react that way, especially when you don't want to believe the worst case scenario, which is that your child is dead. Yeah. You want to believe that they're alive, even if it's like something crazy that could mean them still living.
I think she knows about that as well, and she's still like, no, it's not even that. I'm not in denial. This is like, there's, and she's right. There's
she's 100% right. Yeah,
I think she knows that. I think she suppresses
intuition. You know, mother's intuition.
Mother's intuition. So Hopper doesn't believe her, but he eventually comes around. So he gives the news that Will is dead. They found a body, and eventually he leads his own path, which we'll discuss in our fourth episode, but eventually comes around and say, I cut open your son and it was a,
a
dummy.
It was a dummy.
So Joyce joins Hopper.
Vindicated.
They gather up Jonathan, Nancy, the kids. They're doing this whole investigation. They go see Eleven's mom. They're at the buyer's house digesting information. They got to make a plan to save Will, and the plan involves this new girl whose name is a number, 11, and one of the great moments of season one is that Joyce, from single-minded, we have to save Will at all costs, pivots to what seems to be the priority of comforting 11. Don't you think that Joyce's patience and compassion is ultimately what saves Will?
I don't necessarily agree that that's what saves Will. I think, obviously, it's a contributing factor, but I think it's just another facet of Joyce Byers' personality, like as a person in Stranger Things. I mean, we're presented as this like totally frazzled, crazy person kind of, but that's also to show the other side of her, that she's like a very dedicated, loving, caring person too. And that's illustrated in how she handles 11.
Yeah. It's not just her child in trouble. Yeah. It's a child in trouble that is the root of her concern. And she proves it by being concerned about 11. Even though, as 11 freaks out after Barb, she finds Barb with a slug coming out, Will she hasn't moved on to Will. And Joyce is like, you can come out if you want.
Yeah.
She is not pressing 11 as a tool.
And that's like just showing her compassion. Just again, another layer of her personality. I love it.
That's a walk in the walk right there. Mm-hmm. So 11 does locate Will. Joyce and Hopper leave the kids at the school. They head to the lab. They get caught. She tells Brenna to shut up, which one of the great scenes
that.
Of all time.
I love that.
And Hopper makes a deal that Joyce and him can go into the Upside Down if he tells them where 11 is. They go into the Upside Down. Joyce, I mean, just breathing hard with her AR-15 or whatever, as she walks in there. They barely save Will. CPR in time, happily ever after, or is it?
Well, okay, let's go back to the scene of them like being in the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, as a mother with unending love for her children, she is willing to put herself in the like craziest, scariest situation, which I like.
Well, and we'll talk more about that later. If we go through the rest of the seasons too, we'll talk about her willingness to just go forward. But to wrap up season one, just to put a pin in season one, Winona Ryder, Golden Globe nomination for this performance in season one. She ended up losing to Claire Foy in The Crown, which was a great performance.
Gosh, but poor Winona Ryder. Her like life history of losing yes. to another person. Yeah, she's been nominated so many times.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s, a lot of nominations. But what... Still, the nomination itself is something. What makes the acting performance from Winona Ryder so good?
You know, she brings years of experience and excellent acting skills, which we haven't really been allowed to like see. She hasn't been able to shine since the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Also, I have to say why I think she's perfect for this show is the like the similarities between like how her life is difficult as Joyce Byers, but also like her own personal life struggles. Mm-hmm. I mean, she struggled with substance abuse and depression and everything, kind of like went off the railings, as they even say in season one. Yeah. And I think that gives her like a unique understanding in a Joyce Byers character, which allows that acting to really feel so real.
Yeah. It feels real in a way that really none of the rest of Stranger Things does or can. That she, like I said, her power is that she doesn't give in to the grief. You know, she just continues to go forward. And I think the thing that makes it a great performance, too, is that Winona doesn't play it as if she's unaware of the social norms or her surroundings. She's always like she's stressed out. She's frazzled and stuff like that. But she's aware that she's just blowing past what she knows what she sounds like to Karen with the casserole.
She totally does.
She knows what she sounds like when she tells Donald to just ring it up. You know,
she has that self-awareness. I love that you just pointed that out.
There's a depth of pain, but it's not like she's oblivious. And that's hard to do as an actor and really cool. So you ready to move to season two?
Oh, gosh. Yes, I am. You know what? I have to just want to say season one is my favorite. It was my favorite part to like delve into Joyce because obviously we're meeting her for the first time. So it was so exciting. So I just love that now we get to build on the character that we've gotten to know from season one.
Season two builds on it, adds a boyfriend, Bob Newby. She's making out at work. She's taking Will to appointments at the lab. It's been a year, right? Almost one full year. Will's having episodes as he comes up to the anniversary effect. He's making drawings. She's seeing things in his Halloween video, the static, and she knows Will is in real danger.
Yeah. So let's just start talking about how differently she's portrayed in season two than season one. Hmm. I mean, we have the frazzled, like living on the edge of every day in season one. In season two, she's like so much more calm and collected and like connected with the world around her. I was reading something about her, which was actually kind of negative, which I don't agree with. Somebody was saying that she starts dating Bob Newby because she's afraid of like change and whatever. So she's just playing it safe. I don't agree with that. I think she's gone through this whole traumatic situation. So yes, she is wanting to be with somebody who's like the safer choice, but she finds haven in Bob Newby and she really truly does love him. I mean, we see that at the end of the season, like how heartbreaking it was for her to lose him.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I don't agree with that person. But yeah, she's like so much more calm. She like has the perspective of life at this point. But she's also way more secure because she has a boyfriend who has a secure job. She kind of has like that help with her emotional life.
Yeah. And I think, you know, she closes Bob off to the reality of what happened.
Yeah.
But not to her feelings. He's really aware that she is absolutely overprotective of Will.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of assigns Jonathan as like as the cover safety, you know, on him there. But and when the phone rings and Bob just knows, like, I know that was just traumatic for you to have the phone ring. Like,
right.
So she lets him in emotionally there. Mm-hmm. And that is a change. Obviously, she's not denying what happened. So, I would agree with you. Well, most importantly, she makes all the real connections here. She goes to the school, sees Will having the ultimate episode, which is the mind flare consuming him, and she's going to get it out of him, the truth. Let's listen.
This shape, I saw it on the videotape from Halloween night. It's the same shape as your drawing. these episodes that you're having, I think Dr. Owens is wrong. I think they're real. But I can't help you if I don't know what's going on. So you have to talk to me. Please. No more secrets, okay?
And of course, Will does eventually talk there, because he is, that is right after he says, I can't remember. And then she says, I think you remember. He goes, it all went blank. And she's like, I don't think so. And she's like, tell me the truth. And he's like, I am. Just deny, deny, deny. And she brings him that paper, smacks it down, and says, I know this is real. And he is wide-eyed.
Yeah, he's
when
terrified.
When she does that. Yeah. No, but he's wide-eyed that she would know that, too. I that's what I read on Will's face. Like, wow, mom knows? Because how
okay, that's like a good way to look at it.
And how would he even begin to start explaining it before? He knows that she knows about the shadow monster.
And that she believes.
Yeah, and that she believes, exactly. Yeah. That's the moment at which Will can begin to open up. And Joyce is ultimately the real hero.
She is.
If she doesn't press him, everyone dies.
I know, but like the thing is too, I think this is a perfect illustration of how excellent of a mother she is, because she knows he's lying, but she knows that it's like probably because he's scared and doesn't think anybody's going to believe him.
Right.
But like she is there to listen to what he has to say. And I feel like that allows him to like explain everything is that he feels comfortable and he knows through her saying everything she said, he knows that she's going to listen. He knows that she's going to believe. And then I love the part where she says, like, I will never, her mama bear comes out. Mm-hmm. I will never, ever let anything happen to you again. And again, great mom, because he knows that she means that and he knows that she like will stand by that. Mm. Like he can depend on her protecting him.
I mean,
obviously, like, you know, she can't protect him from everything, as we see later. But like he knows that she would take every effort to protect him.
Absolutely. So she promises him no doctors and draws him a bath and the creepy moment where the Will Flair declines a bath.
No.
So Joyce brings over Hopper. Mike comes in. They're trying to find out what is going on. Will's got the now memories, and he realizes they're all connected. They've got to go. Hopper realizes from the drawings he's got to go dig up the pumpkin patch. Doesn't tell anyone about that. But
of
we'll,
course. But come on, stupid move, Hopper.
Right from the moment that Joyce continually pushes Will to give the truth, she also makes all these other connections.
Yeah.
She's the one who paused the video and got the static. She's the one who knows Will is lying. She's the one who now tells Will to draw. And then the one who realizes he is drawing something that is connected. Do you think all these connections that Joyce makes is a little too easy, a little too plot convenient?
No, you know, I don't think so. I mean, okay, maybe like to a degree, obviously. But I feel they built her character up to be able to make these connections.
Yeah.
She's actually smart. Maybe she's not book smart like the scientists or the doctors or whatever, but her power of observation, her mother's intuition, she is intelligent enough, and they've showed us this, especially through season one, she's intelligent enough to make these connections. And like we as an audience need that to continue the story. But like, I love that that's her character.
I take it even a step further. She is not uncovering something. She is revealing what she already knows.
Yeah.
From season one, really, she never truly, I don't think she ever truly lets her guard down.
No.
She's not discovering things. She is looking for these things.
Yeah.
And I think that's why when I first watched, I would have said yes. Joyce is like
I feel like you did, actually.
Superpowered deduction skills. It's like, okay, it gets the plot along.
Unbelievable, come on.
But rewatching it, the first time she sees that drawing of the Mind Flayer, before Will even goes to the arcade, I feel like Joyce's face is, that thing's real.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Owens talks about PTSD or Hopper talks about the anniversary effect or, you know, or vice versa, just flip them there. But she's like, no, he is an actual present imminent danger. And if you think of it that way, then her connections aren't so crazy.
I think you seriously nailed it when you said that, like, she knows that the possibility is there that, like, something sinister is still going on. Whereas, like, everybody else is wanting to move on from this. Like, she knows that she can't just let her guard down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
So Joyce enlists the help of Bob Newby to find Hopper, who has dug himself in the tunnels and dig-duggin', and Will says he's in trouble. Bob helps them discover what the crayons mean, and they figure out where Hopper is. They arrive at the same time the lab does, and they burn down everything, and she goes to the lab because Will is also burning. Then there's all that stuff. The lab, she reams the scientists for being arrogant.
I love that. I love how pissed she is.
Yeah.
And it shows her stubbornness, as a character.
Yeah, and her willingness to just say it out loud, to never acquiesce to the social norms. Joyce, she bears witness to Will, who then sets the trap for the soldiers, and she does agree to put him to sleep.
Yeah.
She's like, that's not my son. That's not my son right now. Put him to sleep. Then the power goes out. Bob is sent on his mission. He does save the day. He restores the power. He opens up the doors, and he gets to the lobby, and Bob Newby, superhero, makes meaningful eye contact with Joyce and gets hit by a demo dog and dies.
I have to say, the way Winona Ryder plays this scene, it's so great. And it's one of my favorite, most impactful. I feel weird to say favorite. It's one of the most impactful scenes to me because it's so heartbreaking. And it wasn't really until this rewatch that I like truly was able to identify why. It's because of Winona Ryder's acting. Mm. She makes it real.
Yeah.
You can truly feel the heartbreak she is experiencing watching Bob Newby die. And again, I'm going to go back to that article that I read that said that she just went with him because he was safe. Like, this is clearly she loved him and she's devastated that he's dying.
This article on blast.
Yeah, I'm pissed.
Do you think that had Bob lived, Joyce was going to go with him, you know, go move to Maine, get a new spot, take the boys, pack up the boys, get away from Hawkins? Do you think she was going to do it?
That is the question, isn't it? I think, gosh, that's so tough. I think it would be believable that she would have gone to Maine with Bob, lived this quiet, safe life. She could have been happy and lived out her days as Joyce Newby.
Watching,
that's not kind of sweet to say Joyce Newby.
Watching Mr. Mom, listening to Kenny Rogers.
Right. But of course, it's not the fate that we want for her. I mean, we want to see her with Hopper. And we, like, obviously, we want the storyline to continue. So had she gone, we wouldn't have been able to continue the storyline. But,
I don't know. I don't really know the answer either. But I do know this. I wanted her to.
Yeah.
So Bob is introduced at the beginning of season two. It's the classic, you know, we got another season. We got to put an obstacle in the way for our two main lovers, Joyce and Hopper. But I truly believe they got me to the point where I was like, when they're making eye contact before he gets eaten, I truly believe, Joyce, your best thing is to go to Maine with this guy.
She deserves it. She deserves a happy, like,
and they get us
easy
there.
Life after everything they've gone through.
She does.
Yeah, you're right. The Duffer brothers get us to that point.
Get us to that point. And so that we care that the boyfriend dies and we're crying about him with everyone else. Joyce, everybody's at the buyer's house crying. They're the eulogy theme song, which is one of the legendary soundtrack moments. They decide they got to do something. They've got to do something. Mike and Joyce really push them to do this plan. Will, they're going to lock up the Will Flare in the shed and they get a Morse code from Will. Close gate. Hopper drives 11 to close it out. Joyce says, I got to go roast the mind flare out of my son. And although it's an image of her son, like, suffering, she continually pushes to Will until he is he is really burning, like truly burning as they roast out the mind flare from Will Byers.
Yep. But again, it's like another illustration to show her strength as a mother, that character. She knows instinctively that this is what has to be done to save Will. And as we've seen from the beginning, she's willing to do anything to save her children.
And she
Although Will's the only one that ever needs saving.
Yeah. Is Joyce really a good mom to Jonathan? Because she never does anything for Jonathan. She doesn't even know where he is most of the time.
That's true.
In season three, So we go another time. We're moving on to season three here. That is the moment where the first time where I really feel like Joyce is calm. You said in the beginning of season two, we see Joyce portrayed a little different. I don't think that Joyce ever lets her guard down until we see her in season three.
It's funny that you say that because I was talking about like how she's so much more calm in season two. But my notes here are we've moved far past the frazzled Joyce at this point. So it's funny that you said that. But yeah, like she's in this state of mourning, which we can all relate to because mm-hmm. we're all mourning the death of Bob Newby. You see that too, like the first time she sees the magnets fall and she's picking up the superhero Bob Newby.
The grand drawing,
oh my gosh, it's so heartbreaking.
And her calm lasts until she notices those magnets. And that some other magnets fall down. The magnet thing is one of the just all-timers in terms of like investigative intuition. I mean, the magnets that she takes that all the way to discovering the Russian base and destroying it, turning that key. Do you think that's more impressive, the fact that she takes magnets all the way to turning the key than her season one and season two investigations?
Okay, first off, I remember like watching this and I feel like you were like, okay, Duffer Brothers, this is a stretch that you're allowing her to like figure stuff out just from magnets falling. Mm-hmm. Which we even hear Hopper say at some point, like you, this is what you've gathered from magnets falling.
Yeah.
But I think it is less
impressive.
Less impressive.
Yeah. Which do you think is the most impressive season that she investigates?
Ooh.
I mean, I know my answer. It's season one.
Yeah, well, I think it would have to be season one. Yeah.
Two and three, I feel like she's just on high alert.
And
this
she's
kind of the same thing
established what kind of person she is by that point. Yep, season one.
The magnets are really a double win from Hopper and Joyce.
Yeah.
Like Joyce's conclusion is that the lab is back up and running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and that's not necessarily the case. They go on this adventure where they both team up. And of course, that starts with Joyce ditching Hopper for dinner because she's going to learn more about magnets with Mr. Clark. And they begin that adventure. The lab's abandoned. They go to the mayor's office. He's corrupt. They go out to a farm. Somebody's powering up. There's Russians. They take a Russian prisoner, Alexei.
Uh-huh.
And they say, well, we got to take him to Murray. Translator, and they get the info out of them. The whole way they are bickering.
Oh, yes.
Joyce and Hopper bicker everything.
And that's like building up like what we're feeling as an audience as their sexual tension. And I have to say my favorite part is like when Murray absolutely nails what's been happening in that scene. And I have to say to you, because you always talk about you get annoyed. You don't like the flashbacks because you're like, we don't need that. And you're like, we don't need you to spell stuff out. We can figure it out. We're not dumb. But I think this is one scene that you would really, truly appreciate them spelling out exactly what's happening because it's just hilarious. It's done in such a good way.
Well, and I'm glad you said that. I'm not against them spelling things out. I'm against them spelling things out with flashbacks because they could spell it out with the acting and the performances and the dialogue like they do in this case.
And they'd crush it in this case.
Murray is absolutely ripping them. I get it. He's a brute. You know, you don't want anything of him. Well, you just get to the part where you admit you have sexual feelings for each other. And I do love that Murray does that, generally considered to be on the spot.
Yep.
But I had another note here that maybe is a surprising emotional depth for me. But I think the Bob Newby of it all is still part of this. And Murray doesn't get that. Murray doesn't know that part. This whole time, they're dancing around. They're bickering almost like a middle school type of courtship because they're just unsure how to begin an adult courtship in the face of this Bob Newby thing. You know.
Oh, that is 100% what's happening. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. She feels the guilt over Bob Newby's death, and she can't move past that. Mm-hmm. When clearly Hopper's ready to move past it, but she's not. And she's so damn stubborn, but the feelings are still there. And that's why they bicker so much.
And they are a great team, as they come to the conclusion later. So they go they're going back to Hawkins against Hopper's wishes, right?
Yeah.
Hopper's gotten the information out of Alexi. That was a Hopper win. Joyce says we're going back to Hawkins. That's a Joyce win. Mm-hmm. And they get to the fair. They lose Alexi at the fair. Pour out some vodka for Alexi. They learn the kids are at the mall. They're in trouble with the Russians. And that's when she hears about the meat flare even as a thing.
Oh, yeah.
The beginning of the third season finale. She's like, wait, there's a monster.
That's right. Because like we've gone through this whole season where they're like this full disconnect, yeah, really.
Exactly. So they make the plan. They're going to send the kids off to safety. And Joyce, Hopper, and Murray are going to go down into the base, turn the failsafe keys, and close the gate. And while they're waiting, they have Hopper and Joyce have this wonderful little scene. An underground base where they set a date.
Yeah.
7. Enzo's Friday. I meet you there.
No, you pick me up.
Picking you up 7 p.m. Friday.
Yeah, it's a date.
Yeah, it's a date. And I love how Hopper continues to just to clarify. And she's like, Hop, just accept it before I change my mind.
Yeah. I think, okay. Talking from a perspective of we're trying to like see Joyce's character development, mm-hmm. she's finally gotten to a stage where she's willing to let go of her stubbornness and truly connect with Hopper, something she hasn't been able to do since Bob's death. Yeah. But I love that they twist the scene to basically be the same as when Hopper is asking her on a date, except for this time she's finally accepting it.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's Joyce who shatters the... Okay, we're done bickering. We're done doing the middle school type of... We're moving on to an adult conversation here for the first time.
Yeah.
And now I'm ready for that. What you said earlier. I do. You're right. It's exactly the opposite.
Not to harp on Winona Ryder, but this is probably my least favorite acting perspective from her.
Yeah.
I think the scene is amazing. Yeah. I love the way it's written. And I think David Harbour carries it home. And I'm definitely going to revisit this when we do his character. Okay. Episode, but yeah, I don't know. I wasn't as impressed with her acting in this, but the scene itself is so fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't mind the acting. I do. It kind of brings up a question for me. How certain is Joyce that she's not? I mean, she's not going to just stay in Hawkins now. I think she's still uncertain about that, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, he makes the comment about like it's kind of hard to do when you live across the country or something like that.
Hard to be a detective in a town
and
you don't
live. And she kind of skirts that. Like she doesn't acknowledge it, so she's not saying that she's gonna stay.
Yeah, and so I think she's saying like let's go on a few dates and see if this thing works out without making any commitments. And that's kind of in the performance there, maybe something you're picking up on. There's an uncertainty to what she's doing. They're also in a life and death situation.
Fair.
I'm just going to throw it out. I threw it out in the rewatch, but I cannot praise enough the music behind that scene. The Russian nightingales by the red men's choir, whatever. I love it because no 80s movie would ever do that. There is a such thing as Russian romance.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't like the Russian military, you know, and we don't like the Russian regime, but there are people there and their romance is a thing.
Yeah.
And I just love that they bring that in. It's just a nice little underlying behind that scene. So
you always crush it with these musical insights.
I love music. So Joyce and Hopper, they finally do get Planck's Constant and they get their part of the thing. They're going to go in to turn the keys. Hopper and they're... ultimately kill both Hopper, or quote unquote, kill both Hopper and the meat flayer because Hopper's trapped behind that electromagnetic thing after making a Russian brute smoothie. Mm-hmm. They make eye contact and he says, do it. And she turns the keys and she's got nothing. She comes out of that hall or that mall and she's like, we're packing up. I'm packing you up, Jonathan. You up, Will. Bad news, 11. Hopper's dead. You're coming with us. And honestly, it's the only responsible thing to do. She's got to get out of there.
It absolutely is. I 100% agree with you. And I have to say also, like I just said, you know, this is probably my least favorite acting part from her. Mm-hmm. But then we get to these final scenes.
Yeah.
And I love her acting. That moment when you see Joyce's face when she makes the connection with him, she knows she has to turn the keys, knowing it's going to kill him, and she has to do it. Like, and she understands that, and she's willing to, but it's still so horrible. And then after he's gone and she realizes that he's dead. But what really crushes it, which I think is like a very subtle thing, is when we make the jump like a month later and she three months later. And she is calm, collected. Mm. She understands what she needs to do to support these kids. And like instantly, like, of course I'm going to take care of Eleven. Eleven is now my daughter.
No question.
No questions. And that in itself is like such a tremendous like character perspective of Joyce Byers in that moment, to show her love for her kids, her love for Eleven, but also that she is stable and she is going to do everything in her like ability to give them a normal life from here.
I completely agree. And it would have been, I didn't want them to leave Hawkins, but it would have been so irresponsible for Joyce to shut down. She's now lost two prospective loves of her life, you know, in subsequent years, Bob in season two, Hopper in season three, as far as she knows. It would have been so wrong for her to send Will back to Hawkins High.
Right. You know,
after three times they've been in mortal danger, she's got to move them out there. Yeah, I agree. She stays composed after all of that grief and takes that action. That shows the inner strength of Joyce. Mm-hmm. So season four, we go to sunny California. All the leaves are brown, the leaves are brown. Joyce is a telemarketing encyclopedia salesperson.
I love this.
Lenora Hills.
The first work from home job.
She receives a message from Russia inside of a doll that Hopper is alive. She recruits Murray. They determine it's real, and they're going to go to Alaska to make payment, and they're not going to involve the kids. Should they have? Should Joyce have told me?
Because
$40,000 out of Eleven's trust.
I wasn't even really thinking of that because honestly, like, money doesn't matter at that point.
Okay.
When it comes to somebody you love, having them back in your life means much more than any money could ever, like, value. Yeah. Yes and no. Yes, I think she should have told them because, like, so much would have been solved and, like, there would be so much less, communication lost because we see that throughout the season. Like, nobody knows who's doing what, which is really frustrating. However, if she had said something, you could argue, like, would Eleven have agreed to go with Owens to get her powers back? So maybe it is right that Joyce didn't tell the kids.
Yeah.
For the sake of the story.
As Murray says, they tend to get involved.
Yes, that is true.
You also don't want to start the process over for Eleven of mourning, right? She's a freshman girl mourning the loss of her dad. You don't want to give her hope and then start it all over.
Yeah.
But I do kind of wish that Joyce had told everybody, gotten Dustin and Nancy on a conference call, they're a really good team out there.
Yeah.
but it shows that the adults, Joyce, Hopper, Murray, they still don't think of the kids as like part of the team. They think of the kids like unfortunate, like victims, like collateral damage.
And that's a parent thing though, too.
Whereas we don't see them that way. No. The audience, we see everybody as like equal protagonists.
Absolutely.
But it makes, I liked it as a choice that it makes sense for Joyce not to do that, but I wish she would have told them and gotten everyone involved.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't go well. Get up to Alaska. Damn Yuri tricks everybody, drugs Joyce and Murray, gonna sell them off to the KGB. And on the plane, Joyce convinces Murray to take out Yuri, which doesn't go great.
One of my favorite Joyce Murray scenes is when she was like, well, you did karate. You said it's the black belt. Isn't that the highest color you can get? And then so he starts explaining things, which is making her less confident, but then him more confident. I know I've talked about this in previous podcasts, but it's worth revisiting because it is so funny to me. And she acts like Winona Ryder just like acts this part out so well too. It's just hilarious.
And Murray ultimately doesn't follow the plan perfectly. He
knocks him out, which he wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah. So they crash the plane. They eventually turn the tables on Yuri and take Yuri prisoner. They're going to break into the Kamchatka prison. Mm-hmm. Maria is disguised as Yuri. They witness the Demogorgon battle.
Yuri.
Murray, puts a gun to the control, puts a gun to the warden, gets him to the control room where Joyce saves everybody by just mashing buttons.
And Murray's just pissed about that too. Buttons. He's like, you don't know what these buttons do. Okay, and she's like, whatever.
Joyce is a great investigator, but she is not a great action star. I mean, no. The plane plan itself wasn't that good. You do black belt, right? Even when she tries to intimidate Murray, she's like, bears. You know, she's not good at this. She's mashing the buttons. It's the same as season one when she was hyperventilating going into the upside down. She's so determined that she'll do it, but she's not actually good at the action star stuff.
No.
And that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's a great investigator, not a great action star.
And we get the reunion. Joyce and Hopper, after seven episodes at the at the prison, they do a hug.
Yes, that moment. Oh, gosh, so sweet.
At the church, they go through their date and they finally kiss.
Oh, mine's good.
I was thinking about a nice Chianti.
Chianti,
right. And then there's dessert.
I gotta have dessert. And after that?
I don't know.
Use your imagination.
Who needs imagination?
And here goes the kissing.
Oh,
Interrupted later by a phone call, unfortunately. But I love that scene because they go on their date.
Yeah.
Kind of just through their imagination, uh-huh, right? And then they do the kiss. So they have completed the date.
I think I actually cheered when they finally kissed in this scene the first time we watched it. I love this scene. I love, the way it starts off with Joyce's horror at seeing Hopper's scars. Mm-hmm. However, it's not pity, which, I think is, very good.
What is it?
I think it's her own pain that as her character is always, doing everything to protect the people that she loves and then seeing that she wasn't able to protect him. Yeah. So I don't think it's pity for him. I think it's like her heartbreak that she wasn't able to protect him from that pain. But then when she starts talking about the date, she's like she's showing him that she still has feelings. Yeah. And then he starts to talk about the food and she's like,
he's like, I've been dreaming about it. She's like, oh yeah. He's like, yeah. We'll start with some breadsticks.
She's like confused, but also I don't know. True to Joyce, she's not taking it personally.
Yeah. And she gets on board.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I see. We're going through the dinner. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a great moment.
Oh, such a great moment. And then again, true to Joyce's character, when they get interrupted in the kiss, and she's like, she's not forgotten. She's stubbornly held on to why they're there. She's remember, they're listening. They've just had this passionate kiss. Yeah. And then he runs over to the phone and she says that. It just cracked me
up. Her needs are forever secondary to that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they decide, they can't escape or get back to Hawkins in time. So they decide to go back to the Russian prison, hit the hive mind, right? Hopper has a similar demo dog encounter as Bob does. And Joyce, remember, saves him.
Yeah.
And that was a great moment for her to have some power over a moment, not have that exact same thing happen.
Absolutely.
And Murray flamethrows the rest and they fly out safely and
crushing it.
Happily ever after. As far as Joyce is concerned, her arc is kind of complete. Don't you think? Like season four could have been a series finale for Joyce. Don't you think?
I guess I would agree with you on that. It totally could, but it's also necessary to have her in the final season. So
I think, I obviously do not know anything that'll happen in season five, but I got to think that her role in season five is to worry about Will.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like that was season one. That was season two. I'm just grateful to the Duffers that season three and season four were a different arc so that the fifth season of Stranger Things isn't Joyce needing to save Will for a fifth time.
Yeah. And I know you hate wanting to make speculation, but
no, I don't hate that.
I feel like you don't like to predict what's going to happen.
Oh, no, you're okay. in the rewatch episodes, this is true, folks. In the rewatch episodes, I don't like speculating what's going to happen because everyone who's listening already knows what's going to happen. So they're just listening to us speculate about something they already know. In this case, nobody's heard season 5, so speculate away, my babe.
All right. Well, I have to tell you what I want to see happening is I want to see us go into season 5 with a time jump, and her and Hopper are married or they're living together. They are a couple.
Yeah, just
like it has happened.
Married from the first scene.
No, we don't have to. We don't have to go through any of the like in betweens to get to that point.
I mean, opening scene, season 5 opening shot, just a wedding photo.
Yes. Zooming out. I was just thinking that. Yes, that's so funny.
All right. Well, that is Joyce Byers. This is what we're doing, 2023, folks. We are just going through character by character. Next up will be Steve Harrington. Then we got Max and we got Hopper. But we're going to get to them all, ending with 11. So that's what we're doing
this
year.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. My name is Miles.
I'm Kathleen.
And good night.